And now, let's center ourselves as Pastor Bridie Roberts shares today's scripture reading.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Today's scripture reading comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 22, and the translation comes from the Common English Bible. And this is the reading. At that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens rather than citizens of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of God's promise. In this world, you had no hope and no God. But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that we could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. And when he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and to those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Give it up.
Amen. Well, friends, this morning during our sermon time, we're going to hear from the voices of youth, those who are actively connected with Hollywood UMC and participating under the leadership of Kevin McCloskey, their youth ministry director. And what a great blessing for us to receive as they incorporate the scripture passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 21, and lift up Black role models commemorating and celebrating Black History Month.
If you're going to spend your whole life in the grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're wasting your life. For Jackie Robinson, being a spectator in life was never an option. His tenacious, never give up attitude wouldn't allow it. Greatness was the ultimate goal, and he wouldn't stop until he achieved it, which, mind you, he certainly did. If you don't know who Jackie Robinson is, there might be something wrong with you. But just in case, Jackie Robinson was the first African-American to play in the big leagues of baseball. Nothing ever deterred him in life, and when he was warned that being the first person of color to play professional baseball would come with consequences, it didn't faze him. He took that stride with confidence, defied all odds, and continued to play even after receiving death threats towards him, his wife, and his infant son. Not only that, his stats prove he was one of the greatest to ever play the game. We can all learn something from Jackie Robinson's life, no matter who you are or what you do, which is why I chose him to do this speech on. He proved that just standing by and watching life is meaningless. In his own words, a life is not important except in the impact it has on other lives. Meaning that if you don't use your abilities, whatever they may be, to impact the lives of others, everything else in your life is frankly meaningless. It may sound harsh, but it is one of the very truths of life. So take Jackie Robinson's words and apply them to your own life. You don't have to go out and run for president to impact others' lives, but don't be a bystander. Get out there and make a change, no matter how big or small, in your own personal way.
Stacey Abrams is a fiction and nonfiction author, a lawyer, and a political leader and activist. At the age of 29, Abrams was appointed the Deputy City Attorney of Atlanta, which, according to her, prepared her for public service. From 2007 to 2017, Abrams represented the 89th District for the Georgia House of Representatives. During this time, she helped to prevent what would have been the largest tax increase in Georgia's history, according to Time Magazine, preserved the Georgia Hope Scholarship for low-income residents, and worked on criminal justice reform. In 2017, Abrams became the first Black woman to run for governor in Georgia on a major party ticket. She lost. But what excites me the most about Abrams is her ability to get herself up when she's down. After her loss, Abrams founded Fair Fight 2020, an organization designed to build voter protection in multiple states. Ultimately, Stacey Abrams helped to register at least 800,000 new voters, which helped to turn Georgia blue just in time for the most divisive presidential elections in U.S. history. Stacey Abrams is the personification of resilience, hope, and social justice.
LeBron James was born on December 30th, 1984, in Akron, Ohio. James is a professional basketball player for the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA. He has won four championships when he was with Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Los Angeles Lakers. He has also attended the Olympics three times and won two golden medals and one bronze. James has changed many lives by creating the I Promise School. It's currently open to third and fourth graders, but will expand from first to eighth in 2022. He built the school to expand education in his community. The students attending the school will receive free tuition, free uniforms, free breakfast, lunch, and snacks, and much more. LeBron James is definitely a role model for everyone.
John Lewis was a U.S. representative, but also a civil rights activist. When he was a teenager, he heard about Martin Luther King on the radio, and he met Rosa Parks and supported her bus boycott. This inspired him to fight for civil rights. He organized sit-ins at segregated restaurants and went to nonviolent protests. Lewis was determined to win the fight for racial equality. He did not let being arrested over 40 times for his peaceful protest stop his fight for justice. One of his most famous quotes was, "Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble." One of the most famous protests he went to was the March Across the Emmett Pettus Bridge in Alabama. He started to work in government and became a councilman for Atlanta in 1981 until he became a representative 9 years later. Lewis was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Obama in 2010. John Lewis stayed a representative until he died on July 17, 2020, at age 80. I chose John Lewis because I want his story to be remembered.
I love Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was a great inspiration for many people and was also a great basketball player. He made a positive impact by being an inspirational speaker for many people. He was involved with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, helped organizations fight cancer and homelessness, and started a foundation with his wife to offer educational opportunities to minority students. I chose Kobe because he died about a year ago and he's one of my favorite NBA players. Something to learn from him is that anything is possible and you should always follow your dreams. One of my favorite quotes from Kobe is, "Dedication sees dreams come true." Another quote I love is, "Great things come from hard work and perseverance. No excuses." In his lifetime, he won one Oscar for a short film and the NBA MVP in 2008 and had 8 rings with the Lakers. He played with them for 20 years and was one of the greatest players of all time.
I had to pick First Lady Michelle Obama because she served as a role model for women and worked as an advocate for poverty awareness, education, nutrition, physical activity, and healthy eating. She's a lawyer, writer, and the wife of the 44th President, Barack Obama. She's the first African-American First Lady of the United States. She supported American designers and was considered a fashion icon. Michelle Obama once said, "Always stay true to yourself and never let what somebody else says distract you from your goals." She made a campaign called Let's Move, which aimed to reduce childhood obesity and encourage a healthy lifestyle in children. The task force made about 70 recommendations of actions designed to reduce childhood obesity through set benchmarks, specifically lowering the childhood obesity rate down to just 5% by 2030.
Thomas Dorsey, considered by many to be the father of gospel music, was responsible for writing many of the songs we sing today in church. Mr. Dorsey was born in 1899, Villarica, Georgia. His father served as a minister and his mother was a church pianist. Thomas's interest in music was inspired by his participation in church. Dorsey moved to Chicago during World War I. This was when the Great Migration, following Reconstruction, when black families sought escape from the Jim Crow laws of the South. Dorsey then entered the Chicago College of Composition and Arranging. He was successful in composing and performing blues music. He became one of the first musicians to copyright his own music. He was known for his improvisational style. He often incorporated the elongated notes and the slurs that were the characteristic of hymns sung at the church into his compositions. In Chicago in 1923, he joined famous blues singer Gertrude Ma Rainey and composed several blues songs. Dorsey established the first black gospel music publishing company and the National Convention of Gospel Choirs and Choruses. Dorsey wrote, "Precious Lord, Take My Hand." It is said to have been the response to losing his wife and child during childbirth. Remembering the night he wrote the song, Dorsey said, "The Lord gave me these words and melody. He healed my spirit. I learned that when we are in our deepest grief, when we feel farthest from God, this is when he is closest, and when we are most open to his restorative power. And so, I go on living for God willingly and joyfully until the day comes when he will take me and gently lead me home." Mr. Dorsey went on to write over 1,000 other gospel songs, including "It's a Highway to Heaven," "Search Me, Lord," and "There'll Be Peace in the Valley" as well.
Dr. John Perkins is a pastor, civil rights activist, author, speaker, and leader in the field of Christian community development. Born into the family of sharecroppers in Mississippi in 1930, he became a follower of Jesus when his son invited him to church when he was 27 years old. During the 1960s and 70s, Dr. Perkins was active in the civil rights movement, where he led economic boycotts of white stores in order to fight for equality. During that time, he was jailed and was beaten within inches of death. When he emerged from the jail cell, he began developing his philosophies on racial reconciliation and Christian community development. He has authored 17 books on the subject, launched multiple ministries and nonprofits, and has won numerous awards for his life devoted to healing of the crisis of racism, injustice, and poverty in America. I was fortunate enough to meet Dr. Perkins when I spent a summer in Northwest Pasadena at a ministry he founded called Harambe, which means all pull together in Swahili. He would spend time with anyone who wanted to understand what God's people can do to end racism and bring equality to our land. In his book, Dream With Me, Race, Love, and the Struggle We Must Win, Dr. Perkins said, "Come dream with me. Dream of a fight for something bigger, something more important and worthwhile. We need to fight for justice and peace, for the walls between us to come crashing down." Now, at 91 years old, Dr. Perkins will always be one of my heroes.
This past Wednesday, February 24th, was the one-year anniversary of the passing of Katherine Johnson in 2020. Katherine was a brilliant mathematician who worked with NASA from 1953 to 1986. Born in 1918, she grew up in a segregated world. After graduating from college, she learned through a relative about the all-black West Area Computing Section, led by Dorothy Bond of the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics. Katherine began work there in 1953. Then, the launch of the Soviet satellite Sputnik caused the race to space to heat up. The National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics became NASA, and Katherine became part of the Space Task Group. In 1962, Katherine started work on what would become the project that she was best known for, helping to calculate the orbital equations for astronaut John Glenn's Friendship 7 mission. She was so good that before takeoff, Glenn specifically requested that Katherine check the numbers to make sure they were good. If she approved the calculations, John Glenn would prepare to embark on his flight. After 33 years at NASA, Katherine retired in 1986. In 2015, President Barack Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She passed away on February 24, 2020, at the age of 101. In a world where girls were told that they can't, Katherine helped send rockets into outer space. In a world where Black people were treated with discrimination and racism, Katherine helped put people on the moon. And in a world where white men puzzled over the trajectory for John Glenn's space flight, Katherine said, "Let me do it. You tell me when you want it and where you want it to land, and I'll do it backwards and tell you when to take off." A dreamer, an achiever, a fighter, and an amazing mathematician, Katherine Johnson let nothing stand in her way.
Kamala Harris is our current vice president and the first female vice president. Additionally, she is the first African-American and Asian-American to be vice president. She's given hope for all women out there that someday, hopefully in the very near future, there will be a female president. In her young life, she was heavily influenced and looked up to her grandpa. She got into political races as a kid, getting a spot on the Liberal Arts Student Council. She also went to law school. Her political rise began in 1998 when she was elected assistant district attorney in San Francisco. She fought well for that role and quickly moved up the ranks to become California's junior senator before her eventual election into office and as vice president. She also fought for acceptance of gay marriage alongside Gavin Newsom and Black Lives Matter from the resurgence of African-American discrimination and police shootings. She investigated Russia's interference with the 2016 election and debated against Pence in the 2020 election. I chose Kamala Harris because she is a big part of current day politics and one of the most recent African-American leaders. We all can learn that the world, being the world's first isn't that far out of reach. While I may be the first woman in this office, I will not be the last. Kamala Harris, 2020.
Hey guys, so I want to tell you about singer, songwriter, actor, and activist, Mr. Harry Belafonte.
Daylight come and me won't go home. Day. Me said day, me said day, me said day, me said day, me said day. Daylight come and me won't go home.
So Harry Belafonte was born in Harlem in 1927. And he rose to prominence as a musician and performer in the New York nightclub scene of the 1950s. But he became a star with the release of his album Calypso in 1956 with hits like The Banana Boat Song and Jamaica Farewell. Not satisfied with only musical success, Belafonte went on to star in quite a few motion pictures, and he always took special care to select roles that depicted African Americans in a positive light, as opposed to appearing in films that appealed to more common racial stereotypes. Most importantly, however, Belafonte was an early and outspoken supporter of the civil rights movement and was, in fact, a very close friend and a confidant of Martin Luther King Jr. Harry Belafonte has been awarded, honestly, too many humanitarian awards to list here for all of his work in the United States, but also abroad. And he once said that each and every one of us has the power, the will, and the capacity to make a difference in the world in which we live. So today, let's all take a moment and be grateful for the life and the work of Mr. Harry Belafonte.
Desmond Tutu was born on October 7, 1931, in Klerksdorp, South Africa. He was raised during the era of apartheid and was instrumental in its defeat. From 1955 to 57, he taught English. However, he left the field of education upset at the government's institution of racial segregation following the adoption of apartheid policies. Tutu joined the priesthood of the Anglican Church in an effort to follow the footsteps of his role model, anti-apartheid activist and Anglican priest Trevor Huddleston. Tutu states, "I am not interested in picking up crumbs of compassion thrown from the table of someone who considers himself my master. I want the full menu of rights." He devoted himself to the cause of equal rights for all in South Africa. Like Martin Luther King Jr., he emphasized nonviolent protests. In 1989, he led the largest protest of more than 30,000 people in Cape Town. His marchers called for the freeing of Nelson Mandela and other anti-apartheid activists and the dismantling of institutional segregation. In his human rights works, he formulates his objective as a democratic and just society without racial divisions. Desmond Tutu was awarded the 1984 Nobel Peace Prize and the 2009 Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Obama. Archbishop Desmond Tutu stands as an example for all of us. He famously said, "If you are neutral in times of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." He shows us the importance of compassion, the importance of making our voices heard, and the importance of challenging racism and bias.
Amen. Wow, that was just breathtaking, right? And like I said at the outset of today's worship service, this was extra special. Let's give it up for the youth of Hollywood UMC and the youth leaders. Oh, you know what? I think we have some future pastors in that group. So as we come to a close in our time together online, thank you so much for connecting with Harmony. And we'll continue that connection with our question of the day and breakout rooms for those on Zoom. We look forward to seeing you again online next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. as we resume our Healing Stories of Jesus sermon series. Peace and joy.